Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, lean into your rattan squeaky chair as we are going to do today on today's podcast. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Marco Timpano.
Also in a rattan squeaky chair, Amanda Barker.
We are not in our studio, but we wanted to ensure that we had a podcast episode for you today. So we are not in the most ideal recording situation, but we are certainly with our most ideal listeners.
It's morning time, and some of you listen to this podcast in the morning, in fact.
I know, it's funny, because this podcast was never designed for people to listen to when they wake up. It was designed for people to help them fall asleep.
Well, a lot of things take on a new purpose for things they were never intended to do, and we're happy about that. I mean, a lot of people like to listen to this while driving. They just want some natural, easy conversation while they drive.
I don't recommend listening to this podcast while you're driving.
Or operating machinery.
Heavy machinery. It's always heavy machinery. What heavy machinery do you operate during the day?
That I can't operate if I'm on certain medications?
Yeah. I guess car.
A car would be a big one. That's a heavy forklift that I operate.
You know, the backhoe.
The backhoe, yeah. I'm trying to think of any actual lawnmower.
I guess. While you're thinking, I also
want to
mention,
I've never been on a lawnmower. It's not a chore I enjoy.
Fair, fair. You may hear trucks and cars going by. We're doing our best to mitigate that. But that's just the sound of where we are.
The sweet sound of
a cabin in the woods.
Pretty much. That has a lot of trucks.
Near the road. I also had to turn off our water pump.
Oh,
that's why I'm like, I'm going to turn the water off,
right,
because it makes a constant sort of noise.
Tick, 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 boom kind of sound.
Well, I think it's more of a click, chill, click.
It's actually a kind of click, tick, hiss.
I think there's more of a beat to it than a click. I feel like the sound is a little bit more, you know, there's more length to the sound.
I think it's like a radiator where it's like tick, 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 tick. And then a like release, like a hissing sound.
Okay, yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy that.
Okay. Have you ever lived with a radiator that, like one of those old timey radiators like that? Because they're quite loud in buildings.
I've lived with a radiator. It sounds like. Have you ever lived with?
Taken in a radiator as a companion?
No. Yes, maybe I have, but the radiator was new, so it didn't make that noise. And that would be New York. Yeah. So.
Yeah, my residence in university that I lived, I had two different rooms there in first year and then a different one in second year. Especially, I lived on the top floor in my third year. It was a hot little tiny, tiny, tiny room. And those radiators, man, the clanking, clanking, that university was just the constant clanking sound of radiators and a train going by twice a day.
I do like the sound of trains going by.
It is a very comforting sound, yeah.
I did want to mention, Amanda, that last week's episode was only 10 minutes long.
And
it wasn't meant to be a full episode.
But do we upload that as an episode?
I did that by mistake.
Oh, I thought it was a Patreon.
It was supposed to be, and it's a long story. But you and I have been recovering from a longish kind of illness, and we haven't been able to record as much as we'd like. So if anyone's listening right now and they have the sniffles or under the weather, we totally sympathize with you. You're not alone. So
for the last month, I have to say, and I just said it to a friend, I felt like I was living under a weighted blanket.
Yeah.
So, which is not the worst feeling, to be honest.
No, listen, if you enjoy weighted blankets, which I do, mm-hmm. then it's a great feeling. But mm-hmm. you're not so much of a fan of weighted blankets.
I'm a fan of the idea of weighted blankets, but then my hot feet don't like them.
See,
I have a confinement thing that I deal with.
I'm a fan of the idea of apple cider. It's just the taste of it that I don't love. And to watch your shaking of the table.
I'm sorry, I was laughing. I know.
We're on the
it's
worst.
It's just funny that you like the idea of apple cider, but not apple cider itself. That makes me laugh.
I love anything apple, mm-hmm. right? I love apples. I love apple pie. I love cooking with apples. I love all that. Except apple cider, which I love, which I thought I'd love. Cider made with apples. So the alcoholic version of apple cider, and candy apples, not my favorite.
So candy apples and I don't have a good relationship for sure. lots of reasons.
Much like radiator, is it someone else you've invited into the home that you've had
yes, candy apples, I do want to love them, but my teeth are not fans. They don't sure. get along with my teeth, so I stay away from them. But apple cider I love, and I used to always buy big jugs of it, and I got to be honest, I don't buy it anymore because I know I'm the only one drinking it.
Well, then don't buy the big jug. Buy the smaller jug.
Yeah, I might do that. But that said, you do love an eggnog.
I do love an eggnog. And yeah. we're approaching eggnog season, and I'm not going to lie. I saw eggnog ice cream in the store for an inexpensive price, and so I picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have some, not today, but I'm going to have a little bit as a treat in the next day or two.
Soon, I'm going to go to that coffee shop chain and go get you an eggnog latte.
They never make it the way I want it.
I know. The thing about that, too, is they used to have my all-time favorite flavored latte of flavored lattes in the beauty pageant of flavored lattes.
Yeah.
The one I was always gunning for was the gingerbread latte.
I like a gingerbread latte, too.
But they discontinued it.
What are you going to do? You can make your own.
I know, but I'm not going to do that.
Speaking of coffees, I don't know if I've mentioned this in the past. And all our listeners who email us and write to us, please continue doing so. I don't always see them right away, but we will get to them. So Diane commented a while ago on our podcast. I think it was on the Facebook page.
Okay.
That she's been making cappuccinos every morning for most of their married life. And
okay.
we're talking, you know, upwards of 20 years.
Great.
Their recent trip to Costa Rica got them reacquainted with chorreado.
What's that?
Chorreado. Sorry. I have to turn my face to look at my computer. And so.
A chorreado. Not a chorreado.
No, a chorreado.
I'd like to know what a chorreado is.
It's an intense chorreado. And there's some skill and experience required to make the chorreado.
Please tell me all of this.
The right grind, the right water temperature.
Oh,
I love it because now we're dealing with science. And the time taken to pour it in a circular motion.
Oh.
So I'm going to take a look at it. And once again, we may have talked about it. And if we have, oh, well, we're dipping back into it. But look at this thing you have to use, Amanda.
Oh, it's one of those science kit things.
It's really cool.
It looks like, am I thinking right? Like I've seen some coffee being brewed and it looks like a beaker.
Well, the chorreado consists, and I'm reading it from Wikipedia, of a wooden stand, Amanda,
mm-hmm.
which holds an elongated cotton bolsita.
Wow.
Do you know what a bolsita is?
No idea.
It's a little bag shaped rather like a pocket. So picture almost like, you know, when you get tea and you put it in your own tea bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you call that?
Like when you get, but it makes sense because I'm learning Italian. What's it called again?
Well, this is Spanish and it's called a bolsita.
No, I know. Bowl, O with an L.
Yeah.
I was thinking borsa, purse.
Yeah.
And then sita, I figured is a diminutive.
Small, yeah.
So not quite.
But yeah, I hear what you're saying. So it's kind of like a little filter pocket.
Yeah, like the tea filters you get from a tea shop when you put loose tea in.
That's what you're trying to say. Yeah. So the mouth of the bolsita is held open by a circular wire
mm-hmm.
or wooden rim.
Mm-hmm.
So picture a plank of wood that has a hole cut into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you were to take a coat hanger and fashion it into a circle with a handle, as if you were going to blow bubbles with it.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, you put your bolsita in it. And that would allow you to lift the bolsita in and out of that wooden plank.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never made this coffee, and I've never seen this device. I'm just going from what I see in the photo and what I read, Amanda. Okay.
So
I don't want anybody who makes bolsitas to be upset, nor do I want people.
We don't want a bolsita splain.
I certainly don't want to. No one wants to bolsita. No one wants to be bolsita splained, but that's what I'm doing right now. So the stand you use to hold a coffee or coffee pot on its base is at the bottom. So you could put your little coffee mug underneath the bolsita, which is being held up by this wooden stand. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
The bolsita is suspended from the top of the chorrerado stand,
mm-hmm.
hanging above the container.
Wow.
And the chorrado can be made at home simply, and as Wikipedia says, cheaply.
It looks like quite a contraption to have on your kitchen counter.
It's actually very basic carpentry and sewing skills.
But guys, it's sewing and carpentry for coffee.
Yeah, but once you make the bolsita out of linen, and I make the...
Are you going to make this?
I mean, we have so many coffee devices in our home as we speak.
We have very little counter space, and it is very filled with
But
things.
If you want me to make a bolsita, or
this chorrado... I don't not want you to make a bolsita.
So the carpentry doesn't look too difficult, because you would just need four dowels and two pieces of wood, which you would put one piece of wood, a little small plank, a rectangular plank.
Or can I just buy this?
Probably.
Like online, I type it in and I can buy it.
There's another truck going by. Probably, Amanda. Probably.
Is that the bolsita truck coming to deliver a bolsita on live podcast?
The word chorredo is related to the Spanish verb chorrer, meaning to drip or trickle.
Oh.
That's why.
What's the word in Italian for that? Do you even know? Like, I've never.
To drip or trickle.
Trickle? I've never even heard a word in Italian that would mean that.
I know goccia means drip, like a drip, like a drop.
Okay.
So I'm sure it's related to that. You could look it
gocciare.
Up. Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Diane did mention that it takes time and patience. I do love a coffee that takes patience, like a Turkish coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily love this sort of coffee's got to be made fast.
Mm.
Press the button, it's in ready instantly.
You're the opposite of my parents.
Listen, if you like instant coffee, more power to you.
Instant coffee, not sprinkles in a hot water. Have you ever had that, by the way?
I've used it in making milkshakes when I want coffee make milkshakes.
Oh,
you use
smart.
Those? Yeah, so that's when I'll use it. Not that it listened to me as if I'm making a lot. When
was those coffee milkshakes? Well, I've never seen you go, hey, do we have that instant coffee for that coffee milkshake
I
need to have?
That's not something I've done in a
lot. When have you done that?
Listen, I'm sure I've done it in the past.
Sure.
I would use it. Okay, so here's where I would use those instant coffee granules.
Mm.
If I was making hot chocolate,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted a bit of a coffee or mocha kind of flavor to it, put some of those sprinkles
mm-hmm.
in your hot chalky.
I like a hot chalky, man. In the winter, there's nothing I like more than a little hot chalky in my mouth. I don't know.
Sorry,
where
no,
I'm
shaking the
it.
Table. I was like,
yeah.
Everything we're on right now is wicker. Every move we make.
It's a wicker wonderland where we are.
And wicker, of course. And it's, and it, you know.
It's a wicker world in the autumn.
So back to the coffee we were
back
talking
to the bolsita.
The bolsita.
The construction and the sewing involved with coffee making.
So the coffee cup or pot is placed beneath on the bottom stand. Oh, sorry, on the bottom plank.
That makes sense. You drip it in.
And you drip it in.
Through the purse thing.
Through the bolsita. Boiling water is poured on top.
Okay, not unlike a lot of coffee situations.
Sure. And the liquid seeps through, making coffee which drips into the waiting container. But unlike, let's say, North American drip coffee.
Sure.
This one here is based on its grind. So I bet it has a tighter grind, which means that the water takes longer to go through,
mm-hmm.
which also means you get more of the coffee essence and you get more notes of the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet it's fantastic and delicious. And I'll be honest with you, I would totally be into this thing, more so than a French press.
Right. I know. Yeah. You don't have a lot of love for the French press.
Listen, I love the idea of the French press.
Oh, really? Do you?
I like the way the contraption looks. It has a neat kind of look to it.
Mm-hmm.
I like everything but the taste of the coffee when it's made through a French press.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
So don't forget to wash and dry your bolsita after each use, because you can reuse it, as dry bolsitas produce the best results.
Oh, who knew?
So that's my...
Speaking of coffee and variations of that, what did you have in your coffee this morning?
So, like I said, we're not at home right now. We're not in our ideal
recording
location. And Amanda made me a coffee. She woke me up actually very early because she had to record an audio audition for a bank of some sort of voiceover.
It's a glamorous life that we all live here.
So we had to throw a blanket over Amanda's head and have her under the blanket with the microphone, which we're not doing now because we don't have enough blankets to do that. And recorded the voiceover. I edited the voiceover. And then I said, okay, let's record the podcast on squeaky chairs. And so you're like, let's do it.
The only way I could get him up was to lure him with a coffee.
So she said, I have a coffee for you. And I knew something was up. And then I said, and I know we don't have milk up here. And I said, so where did you get the milk? Knowing that there's a coffee I got yesterday in the car.
Oh.
And I thought you took that coffee, the remainder coffee.
I see.
And poured it into this coffee to milkify it. The milkification of the coffee.
No, I did not do that.
Instead, we wisely bought condensed milk and stored it in the cupboards up here.
Yeah. For that reason, in fact. I got it on sale. It was cheap, so...
So we had coffee with condensed milk, which is, I believe, what a Vietnamese coffee is, more
sort
or
of
less.
The base of Vietnamese coffee, yeah. And so it's delicious.
It's a bit sweeter. It's got a...
I was a heavy pour with the condensed milk because we're only going to be here a little bit longer, so...
The viscosity of the coffee is a bit thicker.
Sure. It's darker.
And it's tasty.
Yeah, it's really tasty.
So, on that note, I woke up really... enjoying it, and we did that little audition and it sent out. I wanted to mention, because we talk a lot about flowers and gardening, but we rarely, if ever, have talked about fall gardening.
Let's do it.
And our listener, and I don't have, I think it's Dee, said last week that they really enjoy when we talk about we're talking about coffee.
Dee is somebody else.
Yeah, I want to shout out both T and D, who are listeners.
We think it was T, then.
I'm pretty sure it was T.
Yeah, okay.
So, I am taking my calla bulbs out of the ground.
I didn't know that.
I think they're going to freeze, and we had such beautiful...
But how expensive were they?
They're not cheap.
Every year, you're a little more, and this is true for all of us, you're a little more like your mother.
Well, Listen, my mother has a green thumb.
Yeah, she does.
And I don't necessarily, but...
She does take those calla bulbs out every year, though.
Because we're in a zone where they would freeze in the ground.
It's called Canada.
No, there's certain zones.
Oh, I see.
So I think we're in zone 5.
All right.
But if we were in Windsor, which is much more southern, or if we were in Victoria, BC...
Windsor is that much more southern? Really?
Yeah, I think Windsor's in 4. And I think like Victoria, BC.
I don't know if I buy that.
You have a phone right there. Look up the zones.
Okay, so what am I looking up? Gardening zones?
Yeah, gardening zones, I guess. I don't know.
All right.
So I'm taking my calla bulbs out, and I've planted tulips. I planted 50 tulips because they made a mess of our front, and all my flowers except my peonies, which I corded off, I guess. I put those little metal wire... gates in front of them so that the city workers who were working in her front didn't destroy them. But I planted 50 tulip bulbs. So I cannot wait till next year till those tulips come up. But I can't find crocus bulbs, and I'm a little bit upset by that because I love crocus bulbs and I had seen them in the store, but I think I'm too late for them.
Oh no. Maybe online we could get them though.
There's also that large gardening center not far from here.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe we go there.
They're just a bit expensive, I find, that gardening center.
Yeah, but it's end of season.
True.
I think maybe we go there.
Anyways, so I've planted my tulips.
All right, I'm looking at this map here.
And they've got a peachy, pinkish tone to it. what's that called? You have like a ring that has an orange pink tone to it.
I don't, like an ombre? I don't know.
No.
Okay. No,
it's like orange and pinky. Oh, that's me.
Orange
hitting the
and blinds. Pink. I mean, there's no word for orange and pink.
Okay.
You mean like a mixture of orange and pink?
Yeah.
No, but you're talking about tulips that are both orange and pink. Like they're orange with a pink rim or pink with an orange rim. You're not talking about something, a color that's between orange and pink.
I think I'm talking about a color between orange and pink.
Well, then it would be like a salmon.
Yeah, but a bright salmon. Anyways, I have salmon tulips. I'm going to call them salmon tulips.
Tasty.
That are coming up. And I can't wait for those.
Mm-hmm.
Then, so we have flower pots here in front of the cottage.
Yeah.
That the flowers this year had a decent start.
You got them in early?
I got them in early.
I had nothing to do with them this year.
They were having a good time.
Like May, there were some geraniums, right?
They weren't geraniums. I didn't buy geraniums this year.
Well, what are those?
They're not geraniums. They're
other
flowers. I can't think right now.
Were
they geraniums? There were geraniums and other flowers.
Yeah, they were geraniums. Yeah, you're right. They were geraniums.
I like geraniums.
Yeah.
I know not everybody loves geraniums, but I like geraniums in pots in front of places.
Well, they get full sun. So you need a hardy flower out there because we're also not here a ton. So
they had a great start.
Mm-hmm.
Heart of the summer beat them down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's as if there's new, different flowers in those pots because they're different colors.
It's a second bloom. The blooms look different.
And beautiful. And not blooms on the geraniums. These are blooms on the secondary flower.
Both, though.
But there's geraniums out there? I don't think so.
Yes. So the pink flowers are geraniums.
Okay.
And they have had a second bloom.
Okay.
And they're small blooms. They almost look like hardy roses or begonias. They almost look like begonias, but they're not. They're geraniums.
And then the secondary flower.
Whatever those were.
Whatever it was.
They were kind of like a ground cover flower.
Yeah, they were meant to just spill over
and fill the pot
and they didn't really spill over, but now they're beautiful.
Yeah, they're living their best life.
So
I feel bad because we're gonna have to take them out soon. I mean, the truth is we probably already would have, but we've had a bit of a funky fall.
Yeah, we've had a funky fall,
and so we haven't been up, and now we're up, and here they are, and they're having a second bloom just like us in life.
And you know, Amanda,
I wish everyone a second bloom.
Yeah,
second I really bloom. Do
And then I got a rose. So it's not a rose. It's, okay. So we had a whole rose episode, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So last year, end of season, I planted a bunch of, what's that flower? Did you find out the zones were?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I didn't want to interrupt
you. No, talk about zones.
Zones?
I'm going to look up this flower.
Okay, so we are, Toronto, from what I can tell, is in the zone 5.
That's what I said.
Yeah, and then I think you're right. I think down in, I guess it is Windsor, and just the tip of Windsor, and the southern tip of Nova Scotia, and then BC is its own thing. I mean, BC is like zone 7B, 8A, but tip of Windsor is, I guess, a 7A, just a tiny little part of it. So you're not wrong.
What about Victoria?
Yeah, so Victoria is an 8B, I think. Looks like. It's very temperate there. So, yeah. I didn't know. I really didn't know. But, yeah. There are some growing zones, so it's good to know. I didn't know Windsor was that much more south than us. Because I think of Detroit as a pretty cold, windy city.
I think Detroit, it starts to go up.
But Windsor's on the border to Detroit.
Yeah, but I think Windsor, then you start heading up because there's more Michigan that's higher.
It's true. I always think of Detroit as the highest point of Michigan, and you're right. It is absolutely not. So, good point. What are you looking for?
I'm looking for this flower that I planted outside. It was, so I really dug this flowering plant that looks like a hibiscus, but the size of the bloom of the flower is almost the size of a small plant.
I thought it was a hibiscus.
It's a type of hibiscus.
Okay.
It's like the Rose of Sharon or the Rose of... I can't remember if it's the Rose of Sharon or the Rose of, it's got a name that is a woman's name. So Rose of Esther, Rose of Sharon, Rose of something.
Okay.
I was trying to look it up. And of course, there's a Rose.
It looks like Rose of Sharon. I think you have it.
But the Rose of Sharon looks like a big bush. And that's not what
But anything can look like a big bush if it grows long enough and in the right temperature. If it's in zone 8B, that's a bush. But you look at these.
Yeah, but that's not what it looks like. It looks like
that's a Rose of Sharon in the 6B zone.
Okay. Well, anyways, I bought this end of season at the store we call Canadian Tire here in Canada, which sells more than tires.
We don't call it that. It's called that.
Right. They were getting rid of a lot of their plants that you should have planted early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up like 5 of them because I want these giant blooms. Planted 5.
Mm-hmm.
Only one survived. Mm-hmm. Not happy about that. But the one that survived had beautiful late blooming blooms.
Mm-hmm.
They were the size of a hand, not the size of a plate. I guess it takes a couple of years for them to bloom to the size of a, let's say, a 10-inch plate.
Sure.
I'm excited.
Sandwich plate, if you will. You want a dinner plate.
No, I don't necessarily need a flowering plant that's the size of a dinner plate, but a sandwich plate would be nice.
Okay.
I'll post a photo on our
Instagram. Right now they're dessert plates.
Yeah, right now they're dessert plates.
Okay.
Maybe if you were going to serve an after 8 on a plate to be fancy.
A dinner mint plate.
Okay. So I'm very happy about that. Do you have any insight into fall gardening?
Oh.
I love a November rose, October, November roses. They're so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the thing when I first went to England for the first time. I just couldn't believe that there were roses still blooming in January and just December, January. I just didn't even understand that that was a possibility, and then you go to England in June and the temperature's actually not completely dissimilar. Like, it's just, they don't have the variation of season that we have. They have seasons, but they just don't have the variation of seasons that we have here.
I don't know. Every time I go to England in the summer, it's always really hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it never rains. When I'm in England, everyone talks
about... We were chilly when we were there for that wedding in June.
You were chilly.
Okay. In any event, I don't live there. So fall gardening, I think the biggest thing is trying to protect bulbs when you first plant them from squirrels and birds. Squirrels in particular, or any possums are now a thing for us, which we don't mind. Raccoons, skunks.
We had a skunk living under our porch. Not fun.
We think it was living under a porch. There's some skunkle activity happening. We're not exactly sure. So I think that's the biggest thing, because once bulbs have had a season, they flowered, the season has passed, and then you just wait on them for next year, then they seem to be, the skunks don't want them. They don't have interest in them. But what's happened? Oh, that's the fridge.
That's the fridge now. Yeah.
I was like, what is that? What's happened is, we've had to have a lot of our front little tiny patch dug up by the city. It's fine. They had to do it
twice.
It was a very dirty, dirt-filled summer, and they repaved everything in front of our house, which means you'll know which one is our house because my initials are now in the pavement.
I'm going to write my initials in the pavement. I said, do it, thinking she would do, you know, like an inch size of writing. No, she did like 5 inches. You can spot it from space what you wrote in there.
And what's hilarious is they, and this is an aside, but they put fresh cement, a fresh new cement sidewalk right in front of our house. And then I open the door to go out to work and they just look at me like, there's nowhere to walk.
I know.
So I had to get creative, kind of climb the tree over through the dirt. I mean, it was crazy.
In a suit, no less.
But I just looked at them all and they went, and I just said to them simply, what was the plan? You know, there are humans living in this house. What was the plan? And they didn't have one.
Yeah.
Anyhow. I have big initials outside, but less plants. So that first planting of those bulbs, you really got to try and protect them from squirrels. And there's lots of different intel around that. I think the best thing to do is just get them really deep, because you don't want to do something that's inhumane to the squirrels either.
Sure.
or I don't want to do
yeah.
something.
Yeah, and I don't, for the record, I don't think skunks eat bulbs.
I think it's the squirrels.
Yeah, but you had said skunks. I just wanted
wildlife.
To correct it. Sure. Yeah. We don't have deer, but deer often will yes. eat bulbs. They don't like daffodil bulbs.
Well, I was told squirrels didn't like daffodil bulbs. Lies. Squirrels not our squirrels.
Our squirrels?
Like
it's
daffodil
a delicacy.
Bulbs.
It's their foie gras.
I think Toronto squirrels are a different breed anyway. They're very hungry and big. But
and black. We have really...
Yeah, like, we are known for the black squirrel.
Us in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes, because we actually sent black squirrels to Washington, D.C. Sounds like we sent them as a weird joke gift. But we sent them to deal with a population of something. I can't remember. They had a...
Chestnut problem.
They had an overabundance of something that only squirrels could help with.
Right.
And so they sent Ontario black squirrels to D.C. So you'll still see black squirrels in D.C. from time to time.
They're beautiful, but man, are they...
They're big. They're not what I thought of... When I thought of squirrels, I thought of something akin to a chipmunk. Mm-hmm. These are a whole different beast.
Yeah. Anyways. So... That's our winter gardening and chorado episode, I guess you could say.
No. Two great bedfellows, like a bachelor and his radiator.
There you go. On today's episode, we hope you enjoyed it, and we hope at this point you have fallen deep asleep. Until next time, we hope you listen and sleep.